Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Whether or not Le'Veon Bell should have been smarter, whether or not it actually affects the Jets, which it doesn't. Also, OJ on Twitter coming up in a little bit. And Chris Paul talking about James Harden man boobs, which Skip Bayless got from Sports Talk Barry on Twitter and somehow made it on his national TV show. To speak about that, to speak about the Rockets in general and their dysfunction and why Daryl Morey probably hasn't slept in months, we welcome in Landry Locker, co-host In the Loop, middays on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Follow him on Twitter, at Landry Locker. Landry, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, Le'Veon Bell, he only made a mistake for one reason, by the way, when you are getting into this. We talked about this yesterday. It's not that he left a girl in his bed naked. It's that he left two. I've left one girl in my bed naked before.
Don't brag. You're not going to sit here and brag.
I'm just telling you, you can increase the trust level there. But when you get two, they start talking, and then all of a sudden they become bitter, and they get to exchange stories about you're talking to her when, he told you what. His only mistake was leaving two girls, not one.
855-212-4CBS, whether or not you agree with Landry Locker or not. My God, what a strong way to start this, my friend. What did you guys think about Skip Bayless letting the Sports Talk Barry tweet creep into his rhetoric on his national TV show about Chris Paul making fun of James Harden's man boobs and making James Harden cry and leave?
Well, have you seen the latest? Barry actually tweeted out a video, and it does appear that Chris Paul is kind of poking fun at James Harden's man boobs. He's grabbing him in the man boob region, and then James Harden does leave.
You got to
be
kidding me.
So there actually is a video. But as far as that, it was ridiculous. It was a little bit of a fabrication, but it was amusing to say the very least to see that even, you know, jamokes like us that do, you're doing a national show, but when you do a local radio show and every once in a while you fall for some fake news, it was good to see someone on the national stage at least fall for that a little bit. But
it's
there is
twice.
Some video proof. I think you need to break it down.
All right, we will. We'll try to do it a little bit later. I will see where the day goes. Landry Locker joining us on the show. So has Daryl Morey slept? Because fans, and rightfully so, anytime I listen to you guys down there, they seem to be despondent. They seem to be angry because it seems to them that the Toronto Raptors have captured the championship that they feel that they should have gotten by beating the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. There's a lot of bitterness here. And Daryl Morey is in a tough spot right now. He's always been, you know, really admired around here, but he's in a tough spot, and it's all because of that Chris Paul trade. I think fans are getting a little bit restless because now you got Chris Paul for three more years, $40 million. You can't give him away. There is some restlessness. And the Rockets in the last year or so have become probably the most thin-skinned team in sports. You see Daryl Morey tweeting out before the Raptors won that the Rockets had the second-best record against the Warriors. It seems like any time a report comes on, they make media rounds. A few weeks ago, they had like a impromptu press conference with owner Tilman Fertitta Morey and the president just because Mike D'Antoni's agent said they'd cut off talks. There's a lot of chaos here. I don't think it's as bad as it's been reported, but there's definitely some tension. And for some reason, I don't know if it's the new ownership. I don't know if they're just feeling the pressure a little bit. This has probably become the most thin-skinned organization in sports.
Well, I don't know. You just brought up what you brought up about Chris Paul, 34 years old. Three more years. You said they can't unload him. Is there anybody who might be interested at all? I know that they've messed up the salary cap already with Rob Pelinka. Is there any chance that LeBron might want him in L.A.? Can you do anything with that?
I don't think you can. And the question becomes, can you get better getting rid of Chris Paul? Because as much as Chris Paul is diminishing at the age of 34, he had one of the worst, you know, years of his career last year. It's not so much if anyone will do it, which will be hard enough. But, you know, after free agency, maybe some guys swing for the fences and they have some cap space and they like to bring in a guy like Chris Paul. But they got to think about bringing in that contract. And then the Rockets got to think about it. Yes, Chris Paul, maybe a top 25 player right now. He's not a top 10 player anymore in the NBA. Can you really get better as all these other teams in the Western Conference get better by, you know, trading Chris Paul? And I think the answer's got to be no at this point. The trade that I've heard that would make the most sense, maybe Boston wants the point guard and they want Chris Paul and they give you Gordon Hayward's bad contract and you take Gordon Hayward who can play off the ball with Harden and you just trade bad contracts. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know if they would want to do that because Chris Paul has one more year than Gordon Hayward. But that's the only one that I see where maybe you could do something, but I just don't see it happening and I don't see you getting better doing it.
What are the fans saying about Daryl Morey?
The fans Daryl Morey does a really good job of playing the game with the media and with the fans. The fans trust in Daryl Morey. And they believe in Daryl Morey. Right now, just the fans are more skeptical about the owner, Tillman Fertitta. If you've ever watched that show, Billion Dollar Buyer, that's him. He owns a lot of very nice restaurants around here. But last year, I mean, the Rockets didn't even use their mid-level exception. And they cut salary at the trade deadline because Fertitta made it clear he wanted to be below the luxury tax one of the next 3 years, in at least one of the next 3 years. So they did that, and I just don't think that I've ever seen a team that is the biggest threat to the Warriors or believes they are a cut salary like the Rockets did. So I think people still trust Morey, but there's a healthy amount of skepticism around NBA circles and around here as to whether or not Tillman Fertitta is the owner you want when you're trying to chase a championship and get over a hump.
Wow, so more towards him. Because there's been a lot of national criticism of Daryl Morey. I think that, and you know this, Landry is at the, and Landry Locker joining us, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I think there's a lot of people who question Daryl Morey because he's so big on analytics, so big on threes, so big on things that have not always been traditionally the way you go about it in basketball. They seem to want to blame him, but what you're telling me is that basically, hey, you can only do with what you want to do, and if the owner's going to put handcuffs on you, there's not really anything else that you can work with.
I mean, he was a wizard last year. If you really just look at what Daryl Morey did last year, getting below the tax the way he did, I mean, he had to give up. It got to the point where he knew he had to do it one of the next 3 years. He got rid of Brandon Knight's bad contract. He paid an extra first rounder, and they brought in Amon Shumpert. They gave away Ennis to the Sixers. I mean, for what he was told that he needed to do, and that's my educated opinion, and Tillman Fertitta is on record saying they had to get below one of the next 3 years. But I mean, last year, I think you can give him credit for the Paul trade 2 years ago, but this last year, I think Daryl Morey was handcuffed. I think he was handcuffed by ownership. This year, they say they're going to be aggressive, so maybe he can go back to, you know, doing what he did. But even last year, during the season, with those limitations, he brought in Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers was a key piece. They signed Kenneth Faried. He was a key piece. I mean, Daryl Morey was basically, he had to bring a knife to a gunfight last year. And, you know, ownership can say that, you know, it was a fluke that they got in that, but he's on record saying they had to be below it. And it becomes harder to get below that tax as Chris Paul gets older and his contract gets higher and higher. So, honestly, I think Daryl Morey deserves a free pass next year. Hopefully he gets to go back to functioning the way he's functioned, you know, in previous years past. But he was handcuffed by the owner last year, in my opinion, and based on everything that we saw.
Do the Rockets thank the Lord that Gain got fired with Houston, so it takes a little bit of the heat off of them?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That was a nice little news dump a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they're definitely happy about that. And I've talked to Rockets execs. There's a little bit of a little man syndrome with the Rockets because they've been so successful, and in recent years, you know, they've been among the best teams in the West. They haven't been able to get over the hump, but you know, Texas is a football town, and even guys in that building, you'll talk to them. And whenever you talk to them, it's always like, oh, well, Texans going 8-8 again or something like that. So they already resent the Texans. No, I'm serious. Like I've talked to them to where I was basically having to talk to them about something that I said, and they'll say something like, oh, but you think the Texans had a great offseason, huh? And I'm like, dude, what have the Texans got to do with this? Y'all got a little bit different standard. But there is a little bit of little man syndrome here because they've done such a good job, but it's always going to be a football town in Texas.
Landry Locker joining us on the show. So I want to ask you one more about this, then I do want to get to the Texans, why have you. Do they feel the window's closed? Do fans feel the window's closed all of a sudden?
I think
you still got James Harden. He's an MVP, but you know him better than I do. Go ahead.
They think that it's, you know, they might have a chance next year, but, you know, the best opportunity they had was 2 years ago when Chris Paul went down in game five. There's a little bit of anxiousness. I think fans think that, you know, you might have one more year to try to go at the West without the Warriors, but the reality is all the other teams are getting better. So I don't know if they feel that the window's closed, but I think that they feel like it's closing pretty quickly, especially if Chris Paul regresses this year as much as he did last.
Why did Brian Gaine get the bucket?
Man, I just think they it's crazy, but, you know, I think they just looked at the situation and they just said, this guy's not good enough. We like Nick Caserio in New England. And if we don't get Nick Caserio in New England, we love what we got right now in place. They got a lot of experienced scouts, and they got a guy from the New England Patriots by the name of Jack Easterby. You need to remember this name, Ken. Jack Easterby. He is a man who Bill Belichick let sit in meetings for 5 years. Not only just sit there, he let him recommend players who would fit the culture. They were very upset in New England when he left. There were reports that he left New England because he's kind of a past pastor, and he's a character development coach. He didn't like that Kraft got caught getting a rub and tug at a hole in the wall spa on the day of the AFC Championship game, so he came here. So the conspiracy theory was at the ring ceremony, at the Patriots ring ceremony, Easterby talked to Nick Caserio, who's Bill Belichick's right-hand man, who I know you're familiar with, and he basically talked Nick Caserio into wanting the job. But there was something in Caserio's contract to where he couldn't get the job, but he'd already agreed to it. So Easterby, the guy that left New England, that Belichick loved, that Robert Kraft has beef with, talked Bill Belichick's right-hand man into wanting the job. This is all, you know, the conspiracy theory, and it backfired. But now Easterby, Bill O'Brien, Cal McNair, and the scouts, they feel good about where things are right now, and they're either going to wait out Caserio or they're going to see how this works. But you need to remember the name Jack Easterby. I'm not kidding. And if you go to YouTube and you listen to some Jack Easterby, it'll change your life. Jack Easterby is the name that you need to look out for.
So are they? Wait a minute. Are they just going to make him the general manager? What's going on here? So
he's not the GM. He's not the GM. But
the problem that I'm having here, Landry, the problem that I'm having is that it seems to be needlessly dramatic. Now, if you fire a guy, you need to have somebody in tune that you know that is going to take the job. And Nick Caserio is a big name, but Nick Caserio is obviously very well liked by everybody in New England. You're giving me Jack Easterby over here. So what's going on?
There's reports out of Boston he might want to be a GM one day. I'm telling you, but they have a scouting department. They have guys in place that have been doing this for a long time. And Easterby is basically his title is team development guy. He's very, very. I mean, if you just go on YouTube and listen to this guy talk, it's incredible. And if you just hear Mike Krzyzewski talk about him, you hear Bill Belichick talk about him. I mean, Bill Belichick let him sit in meetings, man. Like,
Coach. Yeah, he's character coach. So, obviously, he is supposed to back up what he says. And you're saying, and obviously a character coach might do something like this. He's basically out of there because of the rub-and-tug palace that happened. So, yeah, fine.
But now, yeah, I'm telling you, just look out for Jack Easterby. I don't know if he's going to be a GM, but he's going to be a player in the NFL. And he's very well respected in a short time here. So they I wouldn't be surprised if they still ended up getting Caserio from New England and trading the draft pick for it. But this Jack Easterby guy, I'm telling you, just keep an eye on him because he is a prominent guy and he is very well respected. And there's been a lot of stuff written about him. And by the way, Ken, he's only 36. Does that make you feel bad about yourself?
Why?
It makes me feel a little bit bad about myself.
I mean, it made me feel bad about myself.
In the palm of his hand. 36 years old. He's just dominating the world, man.
Congratulations to Jack Easterby.
Hey, you better be careful the way you talk about Jack Easterby. I'm telling you.
I'll talk about Jack Easterby any way I want to. I mean, I feel fine about myself.
I'm telling you, man. This guy is winning over some people. Just keep an eye. Remember the name Jack Easterby.
I got nothing against Jack Easterby, but you have to understand my concern is that you have a quarterback who's talented. Like Deshaun Watson, you have a team that is led by J.J. Watt. They're supposed to be a playoff team. Then you have this unraveling with Brian Gaine. And again, if you feel that Brian Gaine is not good at the job and needs to be replaced, then fine. But if you're going to make a replacement, then you need to find a suitable replacement and need to have a plan of attack.
My question is this, Ken. Like, how important is a GM during the season right now? Like, I get it. Like,
it isn't
like,
very important. But what I'm pointing out is that if you're going to find somebody, you have to find somebody better, because you have a franchise quarterback, you need to protect the franchise quarterback. Or you could have happen what happened with Indianapolis and Andrew Luck, where you let a goofball run things and then got Andrew Luck hurt and nearly cost him his career.
That did happen.
That's a scary scenario. And in your division, by the way.
Yes. It's a scary scenario, but I also think this increases the pressure on Bill O'Brien as well. So I think it almost seems like they're not happy just winning division titles. They've won three of the last five. It does seem like these moves are made because, you know, 11-5 and then wet in the bed in the first round of playoffs against the Colts is no longer good. So it does seem like the expectations are going up a little bit. And I'm telling you, man, Jack Easterby. Just get it in your head.
Would you stop repeating the name? It feels as if you're hoodwinking
me. You better apologize for questioning my man Jack Easterby. I'm telling you, man. I'm looking out for you.
There's something getting paid here. I don't know what's going on. Something weird is going on with you. It's just like what it was in the day. Hey, by the way, have you left any meetings like you've been a manager getting thrown out of a baseball game like you used to do here? you done any of those lately down there?
Nah, it's been a little more productive, man. Like you know, Cleveland can be a little bit of a culture shock, and working with Ken Carmen in the mornings is he might front and act like he's easy to work with, but Ken Carmen can get on your nerves a little bit. So then,
oh, I'm a son of a you know
gotta,
what, yeah.
Sometimes you got to go Lou Piniella on him and just let him know what the deal is. By the way, congratulations on the time slot, man. I remember when you used to have to like stay up to like 1 o'clock and then come in at 6 a.m. When did they start giving you this shift?
It's when Bull left, man. I've been making moves, man. You didn't even know. Bull fills in every now and then.
He just did baseball, though, right? He's not very well-rounded. Well, he's well-rounded.
Jeez! Hey, easy! He's a good man. He knows football and baseball and basketball. He is a cornucopia of knowledge. Damn, Landry. You got anything to say about Lyman before I let you go?
Classy guy. Right? That's the kind of guy you want marrying your daughter. Anthony Lima.
That's it. You see, you give Landry an inch, he takes a mile. All right. I love you. I thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Love you too, man. Remember, the mistake was not leaving girls naked in your bed. It was leaving more than one.
You know what? It's not that bad of a theory. Ladies and gentlemen, Landry.
People are going to co-sign that one, I promise you.
Tom, put him on hold and end the interview. Thank you very much. The great Landry Locker. Follow him on Twitter, @LandryLocker. Co-host In the Loop, middays, Sports Radio 610, him and John Lopez. John Lopez is a legend down there. That is a powerhouse station. You got them, you got Sean Pendergast, Cablin Asian got into the smack off for the first time in a dozen years yesterday. It was like Goldberg coming back to the WWE, like, wow! He was better than Goldberg coming back to the WWE, by the way. Nice to hear Sean Pendergast on that phone call. Wait, I don't want to break kayfabe there. But you got him. You got those guys in the loop. Love those guys. 855-212-4CBS. I want to hold off five-burning questions till 12:40. We're just floating all over the place. 12:40 p.m. Eastern. We'll get you five-burning questions. Coming up next, there's something he mentioned there where I'm serious. I want to switch to football real quick. Because this whole firing Brian Gain thing, you need to learn from a team in your own division. I'd be nervous if I were a Texans fan. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4CBS. 1 hour from now, Mike Pereira going to join us, former VP of officiating in the NFL, NFL on Fox. Landry Locker scared the hell out of me, not just because Landry's a bit of a loose cannon. I love Landry dearly, and he was one of the guys, because I used to work with Landry. Landry was our producer in the morning. I was actually relieved when he gave me the call because I thought Landry was going to get canned here, and I knew that Landry was in the wrong role. I'm glad to see him flourishing. I'm glad to hear him on the radio. Obviously, as you hear him, he's a great opinionist and a great host, and I'm glad that he's actually on air instead of behind the scenes. He shouldn't be behind the scenes. The man should be on air, and I'm glad he's where he should be with Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. Again, a powerhouse. Him and John Lopez are fantastic. What Landry scared me about, though, was I can't condone moves without knowing what to do. You wouldn't leave a job, or at least you wouldn't condone leaving a job without having something else lined up. You don't fire somebody without having an idea of who you want to hire. And if you're firing Brian Gain, fine. These are high-octane jobs. There's a big amount of pressure on you. There's a large amount of pressure on you. You got to make a decision here. And if you felt that Brian Gain wasn't right for the job, the timing was a little bit questionable to people, but you're getting into the season. His role is not as important as what it is before. You have scouts that get involved. Now you can do some different things in scouting. Contrary to belief, because guys have always been fired in January, it's probably better to do it now or a month ago like they did. But if you don't know what you're going to get, you need to look at your own division. Ryan Grigson was the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts and did a terrible job. And let Jim Irsay do what Jim Irsay wanted to do, which was be a fanboy and go out and make trades for Trent Richardson and go do silly things and ruin that football team when they have a golden arm and a great quarterback like Andrew Luck. The second they had anybody with any responsibility, like Chris Ballard, who knows what the hell he's doing, who knows how to do these things and put together a team, they're a playoff team again. Andrew Luck is protected. They're able to compete again in a division that they should have owned for years. Deshaun Watson isn't as physically large as what I'm going to find with Andrew Luck. It scares the bejesus out of me. And I'm not trying to be crazy here. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I love what Andrew Luck does. I love good, talented quarterbacks. It's what the league's supposed to be about, so I encourage it. I know everybody wants to say that they love a defensive football game because it's the right thing to say. That's garbage. It's a quarterback's league. I want quarterbacks to be able to flourish. If you want a shootout, which you seem to want, if the American people want it, then let's make it a shootout. Let's not get quarterbacks hurt. Let's not have stupid people running a football team and getting our quarterbacks hurt. So when you fire Brian Gain, who I can't make a great big argument to say that he was incredible, but if you fire Brian Gain, you better have an idea who you're going to bring in. Because if you're doing this roundabout weirdness here, the person who suffers is Deshaun Watson. Once you have a franchise quarterback, and anybody with a franchise quarterback knows this, and anybody who doesn't have a franchise quarterback, you're one of two people. You're dying for one, or you're lying to yourself. Because your team sucks, but you try to talk yourself into a cavalcade of garbage, like the Browns did for 20 years, like the Dolphins still try to do every now and then. You have a franchise quarterback. Your biggest job is to protect that franchise quarterback. Injuries still happen. Things still go awry. Can't make it 100%. Your first job is to try to protect that guy, put good talent around him, try to keep him upright, try to keep him all right. A guy who's already taken a physical beating already, a guy who's already lost most of a season because of a serious injury already, this scares the hell out of me. That division can be yours. Marcus Mariota could be on the outs. Jacksonville, you have no idea what Nick Foles is going to do for them. You have an opportunity here to either be the division champion with a good defense, a strong defense, a decent enough offensive line. You have a chance to do that, and you also have a chance to either make the wild card because of that, because the Colts could be so damn good, and they're so far under the salary cap, they could be a dangerous team here in the future. But over the course of time, Chris Ballard knows what the hell he's doing. I don't know what you're doing if you're the Texans. I don't get that. So it's not about a defensive Brian Gain. You wanted to can him. Okay, fine. But if I'm getting Jack Easterby screamed in my face, and I love Landry, but he did, yelled in my face numerous times, that's not a plan, folks. Just shouting a name is not a plan. That's what the Underpants Gnomes did in South Park. That's not a plan. Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio, and they won't let him out of his contract. Well, if they won't let him out of his contract, then I guess you're going to have a big, big problem filling that void, don't you? Who's going to make that decision? The fans suffer, and most importantly and most scary, it could be a quarterback who suffers. 855-212-4CBS. You fire a guy, you don't go into that lightly. 1:20 p.m. Eastern. It seems like they did. 1:20 p.m. Eastern. Mike Pereira up next. Five burning questions. And also, I guess the James Harden man boob thing actually did happen.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Well, first things first, remember 855-212-4CBS. It's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. You switch to Geico. You go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. In less than 1 hour, Mike Pereira joins us right now. It's time for five burning questions. Tom, give it to me.
What's happening, Ken? Can you believe that Le'Veon Bell was not the only NFL player embroiled in a jewelry?
It's hard to say the word jewelry. Jeez. It really is. Because you don't know if you should say jewelry
exactly.
Or jewelry.
I'm so looking it's hard at the say. Word and I'm, yeah. Jewelry yeah. related.
Nah, I sympathize.
News item. Saints QB Drew Brees is suing a San Diego area jeweler for allegedly overcharging him for diamonds last year. Brees was trying to invest around $15 million in diamonds, and apparently what he bought was actually worth significantly less. So most embarrassing jewelry-related loss of money, Lev Bell being robbed by two naked women, or Drew Brees being treated like a chump by a San Diego jeweler?
How long has this jeweler been in business?
I would assume it's a pretty reputable jeweler.
What are you doing?
There wasn't
what
a
are
lot
you
of
doing?
Information about
that's
it.
That's worse.
Know.
That's far worse. Explain this scenario again to me, please. So he wanted what done, and they did what?
He wanted to invest $15 million in diamonds. And the jeweler he went to ripped him off and gave him basically 10-ish million.
Oh, my God.
$9 million, I think he's trying to get $6 million back. $6.1 million in damages.
How long have you been in business? Because if you've been in business, why would you rip off Drew Brees? Stop. I'm sorry. You should be shuttered. You should never be able to do business again. You don't rip people off like that. You don't do it. It's bad for business. It's bad for your. I know people say, "Well, Drew should have known better." Fine. Yeah, maybe Drew should have known better. $15 million in diamonds seems like a big investment, but so be it. I just don't understand why, if you're in a business like that, where kind of jewels, they are what they are, why would you rip a guy off? You can't rip a guy off.
With a national reputation.
You can't rip that guy off. Like there are plenty of small, there's plenty of regular people out there, not small, but plenty of people out there that get ripped off. And that's horrible. That is awful. And we see it on our local news and like here, Five on Your Side and the I-Team and things like that. That's awful. That's really terrible.
Their defense is that they charged a markup of 1.6%.
Oh, my God. I wanted to say blow it out your you-know-what, and I realized we were on the air. Just stop. Just close your doors, and hopefully Drew Brees should do business with other reputable people. That's dumb, and it should destroy your business. Because you shouldn't rip off anybody in the first place. You certainly shouldn't rip off a guy as well-known as Drew Brees. Next.
All right, our buddies Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand up on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston received an interesting call on their show this week that is people suggesting that it was Kyrie Irving himself. Here it is. You can decide for yourself.
Hey, so I was just calling in saying that with such a rare talent like Kyrie, it's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more. Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast, and I think it serves us right that now he's gone and look at what we're left with.
Is that Kyrie, Ken?
I think a lot of people wanted it to be Kyrie. We did this yesterday morning. The mannerisms of how he speaks, his cadence, does sound a lot like Kyrie Irving. I noticed where he almost says me instead of him. There is a part where he pauses and says me, almost says me instead of him. Because Kyrie's so nuts, I'm led to believe that it could very well be him. However, I don't know why the guy would call back. And he did say Zoe. And later in the interview or later in the conversation, they say he wouldn't know who Scott Zolak is. He calls him Zoe. So it's close. I think a lot of people want to believe it. And because I want to believe it, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go believe it. Because Kyrie is nuts enough to call up a radio station and do that type of thing, is he not?
I think
Which,
he is.
I can tell you this right now. Last year, we had a former Cleveland Browns coach who at the time was the Cleveland Browns coach, hint, hint, call into a sports talk radio station here, my station I work at, under an assumed name. It was him. Like, turn the mics off and go, oh, my God. It was him.
I'm sure it was him. I'm sure it happens, and Kyrie is exactly the kind of person that would. I
it
don't
happens
know if that
more
was
time,
him, but he would.
Yes, it happens more times than people think. Guys listen to this stuff no matter what, they do. I tell them they shouldn't. I tell them to their face, you should not be listening to this. It's true. Like, the only guy I've never had to say anything bad about was Joe Thomas. Like, Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden got burned a couple of times. It's like, yeah, we got to talk about Joe Hayden getting burnt. And they hear that, and then they get mad at you. Like, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's changed everything with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if Baker Mayfield should be talking about Sam Ehlinger in public. I just don't know if he wants to put that much pressure on himself. People are going to hear it. You're going to get upset. Next.
All right, the Washington Wizards are still without a GM and conducted their 2019 NBA draft on Thursday with no clear franchise direction. But, of course, that didn't stop them from selecting Rui Hachimura with the 9th overall pick, despite not meeting with or working out the former Gonzaga forward. Do you think now, and this is a little bit of a different angle on this, do you think the odds of this pick working out for the Wizards are actually better or worse for the lack of GM and any type of pre-draft interaction with this
player? I think
it's
probably the same, isn't it? You get to a certain point in the draft. Where did they take Rui Hachimura at?
9th overall.
Like, honestly, in that, that's just as good as a third-round pick in some drafts. I'm not saying they pulled it out of a hat. The kid has upside, doesn't he? Like, there was some good tape on him. You watch, it'll probably be just as good as what it is. It's the biggest crapshoot ever now because you have very little tape on guys. You're trying to watch everybody, but now it's going to get even crazier coming up in, 2022 when they put the high school kids back in? So then it's going to get even crazier. Like the Cavs, again, I'm in Cleveland. They took Darius Garland. Darius Garland played 4.5 basketball games this year.
How strange.
They took him 5th overall. I don't think it's strange. I think if they felt, I'm actually relieved because they felt that he was the best player. I thought they just weren't going to take a point guard.
How could you know? Based on what?
I have no idea.
You think he's the best player available?
I don't think. It's not me.
I'm not saying the Cavs. Cavs thought he was the best available player at the same position they just drafted their first-round pick last year, and a guy played 5 games in college.
Exactly.
I'm with you. It's random. That's why I'm asking the question this way.
There's a but. What we're doing here is in the NBA, the lines have been blurred more than ever about the positions that guys play. So if he can come off the ball and catch and shoot, or he can disperse better than what Colin Sexton can, then there's room for those guys in that backcourt. They themselves continued to talk about Portland as their model for that. And Portland has been a very good model for that, and they're a good basketball team, and those fans really like those two guys in that backcourt. So there might be a possibility there. I was terribly afraid that they weren't going to take what they felt like when Ja Morant was still a possibility. Ja Morant's blown everybody away. There was a possibility at the time the Cavaliers could certainly get Ja Morant. Well, Ja Morant is a point guard, is a guard. And there was a fear here that they wouldn't do it because, well, we already got a point guard in Colin Sexton. Like, you still got to take best overall, especially in the NBA, in that spot. You get what I'm pointing?
I get it.
Yeah, so
I'm just with you.
This isn't 1996.
Watching on Thursday, I was like, these are more guessy feeling than ever before in the lottery.
That's a great question, randomly picking. I don't think they pulled it out of a hat. Probably somebody, whoever makes that pick, probably looked at it and goes, okay, we'll take a stab at him. Big guy, maybe can be some inside-out presence. If we can develop a shot with him even more, he could be even better. I think they're kind of going after that. I'm fine with it. Next.
Okay, my New York Mets made some coaching staff changes this week in an effort to inject some energy into a stalling season, and among the new hires was 82-year-old Phil Regan. As the new pitching coach, he was an all-star in the 60s. He was last employed in Major League Baseball in 1999, and although critics have immediately ripped the move, struggling closer Edwin Diaz has already credited Regan with a crucial tweak that helped him with a 1-2-3 inning last night. Any issue, Ken, with the Mets' decision to give an 82-year-old a shot after 20 years out of baseball?
Couldn't be any worse. Am I supposed to say that this is going now the Mets are really going to ruin themselves? Boy, it's been really bad for the Mets. Now it's going to be even worse. He's 82 years old. This will probably be his only run. They're trying to get to the end of the year already. How does that make you feel as a Mets fan?
I'm confused. I'm not sure what to feel.
That is a move that it's June 22nd. That hire happened 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
So it happened on June 20th, and it seems that the New York Mets are just trying to limp to the end of the season already.
Mickey Callaway was a pitching coach in your city. It was supposedly
great. People love him here. People love him.
It was like he was supposed to take responsibility for the pitching staff, but now he's thrown Dave Island under the bus, a renowned pitching coach, to hire an 82-year-old pitching coach as if he's not doing the pitching coaching. I'm confused.
I'm really sorry. I know I'm supposed to have fiery takes during this type of thing. But I don't think Mickey Callaway will be with the Mets next year, and I don't think that Phil Regan will be with the Mets next year. And they're not a very good team, and there will probably be whole changes at the end of this season, and they're just trying to get to the end of the year. I just don't want Mickey Callaway to get fired during the year. What's the point? I don't know if anything's the point. It's not like they're going to compete. Next.
Okay, last one. Also baseball, the Phillies honored Chase Utley with an on-field retirement ceremony before last night's game that included a first pitch with Mac from the FX show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It closed a long-running joke for the character on the show, having a lifelong dream to have a catch with the Phillies legend. Was it too silly or for a retirement ceremony or perfectly Philadelphia to have a Always Sunny bit as a part of the retirement ceremony?
That show's pretty Philly, man.
And it's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's fine. That show's been on a long time now. That show's about as American as you can be. I've watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia in like three different blocks. Like I went years without seeing it again, and then I went through the entire catalog in about 2 weeks. And then I haven't seen it again. And then I went through a couple of months ago, went through the entire catalog again.
I did basically the same thing. It is so good, actually. It really is underratedly good.
It really is. It really is an exceptionally great show. Usually when they add in different characters, some shows can take a dive. They brought in Danny DeVito, and it totally took it to a new stratosphere. It was already a good show. They bring in Danny DeVito. It went into a completely different place. It's one of the best shows, I think, in American television history over the last 20 years. I think that as long as Chase Utley doesn't seem to have a problem with it, I think it's fine.
That's five burning questions.
That is five. Boy, those weren't even burning. Those were like a little uncomfortable. They were just slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It wasn't a burning thing. Yeah, you know, you don't have to be hot take guy every single time out there. And we already got all the hot stuff we wanted to get out there. Le'Veon Bell, got that out there. I ripped the Texans, got that out there. We can talk Chris Paul and making fun of James Harden's man boobs at the end of the show. The Montreal Expos we could talk about tomorrow. Really, there's no reason to listen to the final hour of the show. We have Mike Pereira. But I don't know why you'd want to listen to that great guy talk about everything with the NFL and the murkiness there. I hope you can tell there's sarcasm here. Because I got to tell you, coming up next at 1 p.m. Eastern, I am afraid of something. I usually talk about fear. And socially, there is a fear. I can't believe what's about to come out of my mouth. That there is somebody who's about to have a second act in America. And I sincerely hope it doesn't go that way. He was a running back. And on social media, the juice is loose. It's next on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.